about to put out like a song first quarter, and it depends on what that song does, right? So
is that could, song different? Yeah. Is it different?
Very. I feel like it's gonna change Afrobeat.
Oh
yeah. Oh! Yeah, it's gonna put us on the yeah.
No way. People ask me where I get all my energy from. From the stage to the studio and to my desk. I am the energy god. And you can be one too.
You're listening to Adeshokpe Live, the Afrobeat podcast. Right.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Adeshokpe Live, the official Afrobeats podcast here in the AfriMedia Studios in London, where we break down the hot topics of the culture. Most times I'm joined one-on-one by a special guest in the building. As always, we appreciate the subscriptions, likes, comments, sharing. Keep those numbers going up so we don't have to rely on others to promote our culture and we can do it by ourselves. Now, joining me in the studio for the very first time, out of Lagos, Nigeria, looking and smelling like money, it is the Outlaw King, Big Tony! I'm sure you can help me turn that off, yeah. Big Tony, how are you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, man. I'm excited to be here.
Listen, like I said, you Nigerian boys don't know how to hide money. It's like once you start getting it, you've got to show it.
We did try.
But listen, how has, you know, we've just come from what is popularly known as Dirty December.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people have gone back home.
Yeah.
A lot of you guys have been working tirelessly.
Yeah.
How has December been for you?
It was pretty good. Mm. I just came from Lagos recently, and out there is crazy. You know, the traffic, is a lot of people back home.
Yeah, man.
We did a couple shows. I recently just did my own show for the second time in Lagos.
Wow.
But I did something different this time around. I tried something different. I did like a bonfire show for like 500 outlaws, right? But we did like 800 people because, you know. But yeah, it was pretty good December. I wouldn't lie. Like, yeah, it was good.
When I saw the bonfire thing, I thought, this is a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's one of those things where everybody's trying to do something different.
Yeah.
Everybody started to stand out, talk to me. First of all, being an outlaw. Outlaw, when I was growing up watching cowboy movies and stuff, outlaw is a rebel. You know, this is someone whose face is on a poster.
Yeah.
$500, $1,000 if you can find this guy. What was the first decision or why did you, you know, go with the outlaw first?
Yeah.
And then second of all, let's talk about the bonfire night.
So first off, you know, back home in Nigeria is pretty much not really easy to like be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there's a way of life that society has set that everybody has to, you know, behave this way. And, you know, I just said to myself, like, if you're comfortable in your own skin and like you're ready to do what you really want to do without, you know, thinking about what people have to say, then I'd rather just be an outlaw, you know. So that's what inspired like the whole movement. And yeah, so far so good. It's been moving well.
Talk to me about the bonfire.
Yeah, so obviously, like I was on the road like all year last year. You know, like I did a lot of shows. I was on tour with Rema as well.
Yep.
I played a couple shows in Europe, and to be honest, I just said to myself, I wanted to do something really intimate. You know, just the people who really love Vic Tony, right? I didn't want to like do like a big concert, because the previous year, 2022, I did like a big concert in Lagos, but I wanted to do something different, just something relaxing. Although it still stressed me out. Like I didn't even know like planning like if a smaller show wouldn't be stressful, but I thank God like it came through.
Any show
any show is stressful.
You mentioned currently Rema there, your brother that you toured with.
Yeah.
You guys also hopped on the Soweto remix.
Yeah.
Like verse crazy. Yeah. Did he tell you about that verse, or he just sent it to you? Or were you there when he was recording it?
No, I wasn't there when he was recording, but I had sent it to him, and, you know, he just did his thing. I mean, his grandma said he's good. Yeah, and he's good thing, at what he does.
That
yeah.
thing just caught on.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in London, you were supposed to perform. I think time had gone crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody saw the video that went viral with sadly you not being able to perform.
Yeah.
I understand how that goes with production times and stuff, but how did you feel at that moment? Haven't rehearsed and practiced to give a performance and not being able to give that because of timing and all the, you know, production constraints.
Let's talk about
it's painful.
Let's just talk about something else. I don't want to speak on the you know, on the issue, but it's happened.
Absolutely. So, listen, again, Rema's your brother, you've toured around the world with him. Yeah. First of all, what is it like being a young artist in this game and you guys having to find, you know, keep a strong relationship? Because I think the young generation, you guys have a better relationship than we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
What is that like, being a young cat in the industry right now and you guys bonding the way you guys are and also traveling with each other during difficult times such as touring in America and Europe?
Yeah, I think it's just coming off the idea that, look, you know, there's Taylor Swift, there's Post Malone, there is Ed Sheeran, you know, all these people, they do stadiums, they all have billions of streams.
Facts.
And, you know, so collaborating doesn't take away anything from anybody.
I like that.
Rather, it just only strengthens, you know, the movement. And, you know, and Afrobeat is a fresh genre, and I feel like we need more collaboration at this time, you know, to push it forward. So I feel every young artist kind of like have that, we have that idea. And, you know, I think that's what just strengthens our relationship.
You did something probably unprecedented.
Yeah.
You had the record that basically had every brother and their sister on a whole record.
Yeah.
First of all, talk to me about that record.
Yeah.
And that many representations.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a session with Crayon in 2021, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the songs we made, you know, and I really loved the song. But we didn't finish it at the session, right? And one day, I'm shout out to Kitsu. He's like my main producer in Lagos, right? And then he asked me about the record. He's like, what about the record you have with Crayon? And I really love it, but I can't finish it. And then he told me, like, this is something you could do, right? He gave me the idea. So, and then I thought about it, and it just sent chills, like, down my body. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about it at the time because I knew I had to, you know, go for it, right? So, Aristar has a session at his studio, and then he hits me up and is like, Aris at the studio. So, once I got Ira's vocals and I knew that was it, like, so I went after everybody, right? And it was really fascinating and it was an exciting experience for me, you know, because at that moment it was bigger than just the song.
Absolutely.
Like just making an interesting song, but it was like it was history, it meant history to me at the time.
Absolutely.
And you know, it gingered me, you know. I went after everybody, and shout out to everybody who was on the record, because you know, the willingness to like just hop on it and like just buy into the idea.
Did they know everybody else was on there before most of them jumped on it?
No, I told them the idea, but I didn't tell them
who was on it. Because I think I saw Odumodu Black's comment or Black, one of them in the comments saying like, you bastard. So a lot of them didn't know who else was on it. How many people eventually was on that record?
It was like 13 people.
God damn.
Yeah. It's not easy, Sha. Like, the clearances and all.
What's the split?
Yeah.
I was just about to say,
yeah,
what was that split sheet? I'm seeing Ira Star, I'm seeing Crayon. What was that clearances like?
It was hectic, but shout out to everybody because the artists, they did what they needed to speed up the process. They were like, hey, look, I'm here if you need anything. But everybody was pretty supportive, right? It wasn't so much of a hassle, right? Because in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this would probably take like a month or two, but we did it in like 2 weeks, right? So it was, yeah, shout out to my lawyer as well, Kevin Nana. Shout out to the team, KVLT, Plug, and yeah.
Now let's talk about Vic Tony. For me, the first time I ever heard of Vic Tony was the December 2021 when I had seen you in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I had seen you, I believe it was at a hotel where Wizkid was coming down.
Yeah.
And you took a picture.
Yeah, you were there?
No, someone just shared a video with me. Okay. So I just saw it. I'm like, oh, who's this guy? So I didn't even know that Vic Tony was like a singer that had been buzzing and you were on the move with your career and then had that major stop. Let's take it before that. Let me just talk about Vic Tony growing up. Yeah. Where are you born and raised? Where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Lagos, Nigeria. That's where I went primary school, secondary school. But then I furthered my studies in the university at Owerri, Federal University of Technology. I studied petroleum engineering.
God damn!
Yeah.
All those maths, chemistry, physics.
Yeah, because obviously you know how Nigeria is now. Like, you have to study what makes sense, right?
Facts. So, what can make you money?
Exactly. Right. So, but I've pretty much been in Nigeria all my life. But when I got into the university, that's when my musical career kind of like kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
Because all my life I wanted to do music, but you know, the opportunity, it wasn't there, right? But when I got into music, that's when my friend tells me, oh, there's a studio, right? That's like the first time I went to a studio.
At uni?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's when I started recording and I started building like a fan base in school. So I started doing shows here and there, started putting out music.
And you were rapping, right?
Yeah, I said I was a rapper.
I saw you doing like a, was it like a battle rap scene? Oh, you're battling people.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got to be honest, the bars were hard.
Yeah.
The bars were hard.
Yeah, but I started rapping. I was rapping in school, actually. Yeah. But then Corona hit and it was locked now, right? So we all had to go back to Lagos. That's when I was in a musical camp organized by, I just met Daffy at the time. He wasn't even into management at the time, but he was young and he just was one of the first people who really believed in me. Wow. You know, and I really loved his energy at the time. And then we went to the studio, he called a couple producers. That's when I started singing. So that was 2021. So I started Afrobeats. Lockdown 2020, not 2021. So I started Afrobeats. In the camp, I made an EP, right? And Daffy tells me he knows Toby, Alaji. He owns Main Lab Dog Party. Yeah, Plug as well. So we go to meet him and it's like, is there anything he can do for us? And that's when we collaborated with Main Lab Dog Party for the first EP.
Wow.
Right. So when I put that EP, I think that's what kind of like registered my name in the Afrobeat space, because I had files on one of the songs.
Mm.
Right, and yeah, I just kept growing like my fan base little by little up until 2021, early 2021. That's when the accident happened, right? Thank God I've been through that. It was
that difficult time.
Yeah, it was a downtime for everybody, but I mean, came out of the hospital, and that's when Holy Father dropped late 2021, and the rest
is history. Yeah. I saw a video. I remember at that time,
because
when I'd seen the video of you taking a picture with Wizkid, and I'd seen the video around, and then I started to read a little bit, you know, articles about the car crash.
Yeah.
But the video that caught me, which was, you know, a very powerful one, was when you had popped up at Davido's show.
Yeah.
And you said you wanted to perform this record, but this time you want to perform it standing. And he was like, they helped you get up and you were on your feet. Like, even for me, watching through social media at the time, that was an emotional moment.
Yeah.
As a fan
who'd
just gotten into your story a couple weeks before that.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind at that time, having a hit record and wanting to perform it on your feet, having gone through the physical and mental trauma that you're being through with the accident?
You know, when the accident happened, you know, my fans, they stood by me, family and friends,
social
they were there for me.
It was crazy,
So I knew, like, I had to make my healing announcement, like, really special.
Mm.
right? So I found out like I could stand like probably like a week or 2 weeks earlier at physiotherapy. So I was going to physiotherapy. I was doing some standings and all that. I'll stand for like a bit, and you know, but I was still moving around on my wheelchair. So, and I was supposed to perform at Davido's show. So I told my team, like, look, we have to make this a moment, right? Because a lot of people have been there for me throughout this period. So I feel like this would be a joyful moment. I feel like
for everybody.
Yeah, it's cause for celebration. So I couldn't figure out like a better way to do that, you know, than on Davido's show. And shout out to Davido, because when the accident happened, he also supported like in a very big way. So
talk to me about the family background. What's it like at home, you know? Your parents, siblings? Talk to me about that dynamic. Do you have brothers, sisters? What position are you in the family?
I'm the last child.
Ah, man. That's why you got away with that music and entertainment. They had to let it go.
It wasn't even so easy, because that's why I studied engineering. I liked engineering, right? And I was kind of like book smart growing up. But I always loved music, but you can't just walk up to Nigerian parents and tell you that
you
want to do music where there's nothing to show for it. So the accident kind of like changed everything, because when the accident happened, my parents, I don't know if they knew how big I was at the time. I wasn't so big, but I started something, right? So a lot of people came to the hospital. The hospital was wondering who they had admitted at the time, because there was a lot of artists coming through. It's like social media, like pray for, there was a hashtag pray for Victoria and you know, stuff like that. That's where my parents really knew that, okay, their kid was doing something. Right. That's when everything changed. But yeah, I'm the last child. I have three sisters and one brother. My family is like everything to me, because we grew up together, right? Up until the time when everybody had to go to school. But even at that, like, communication is strong. I'm Catholic as well. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Me too. Born and raised.
For real?
Yeah. Rosary. You don't play with the angel, lose nothing.
Yeah.
You know how it is, man.
Yeah. So, yes, strong Christian background. Yeah. I'm pretty much from a very normal Nigerian family, you know.
Now that the game's changed, we talked about, you know, you coming back from the horrific injury, now stepping in.
Yeah.
Hit record. Pop up with Mayo Kun here, this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that, or the first moment when you realized that it looks like this music thing could really work?
Yeah, so that's when I put out my first EP, right? And I remember that night, we're all in a hotel room, we're all on our phones trying to, because we were young, we're all young at the time, right? Like, I mean, now we have like little experience. I'm speaking about my manager. Absolutely. And like his team. But at the time, I was the first artist he was managing, so we're all young trying to get it right. We're in this hotel room, he's buzzing everybody on his friend, trying to tell his friends to change his DP to that, right? You know, he's talking to everybody. I'm doing my thing, I'm creating more content with my animator and stuff like that. And when the EP drops, just the reaction, right, when it dropped 12 midnight, I'm seeing a lot of tweets, people texting me, you know, at that moment. And it got to number 7 on Apple Music, right? Wow. And I was like, just because we believed at the time. And, you know, that's when I felt more belief. I'm like, this thing is very possible. You know, getting all these people to listen to my song. Like,
from nowhere.
From nowhere.
Yeah.
Right, that's when I had more belief. And, like, the EP did really well, because I played it. Some shows in Lagos at the time, and people would sing along, right? So that EP just built like a foundation for me, basically. And that's when I knew, like, you know, I'm going to be a superstar regardless of anything. So yeah.
Well, now, like I said, when you walked in, the money looks long. You know what I mean? I see the whole team flying, you know, first class flights. I've seen you in Europe. I've seen you in America. Yeah. You're all over the place. You've dropped projects after projects. Now you've had not only an Afrobeats hit record, you've had a global hit record in Soweto and the remix. You know, you've done. Now talk to me about Victoni now. What has the last 3 years, how has it affected you musically in terms of the experiences of what you've had? And how has it affected you personally?
The last 3 years has been like a lot, you know, it's just been like a roller coaster. Musically, I know like I've grown a lot, right? I mean, obviously, like in terms of what you mentioned, and also like even as an artist, right? Like my artistry has grown, type of videos I make now, you know, how I make music in the studio as well. Yeah, it's been a lot musically. Even my performances, you know, like performing in all these places, like obviously, like I have to like
sharpens you up.
Yeah. Also, I've also learned a lot in the industry, right? The importance of like certain things, like you know, like relationships. You know, and just being humble, you know, because there's no end to it, right? It's like you could be up here today, and you know, you're nowhere tomorrow. So it's just all about staying humble and just knowing that. It's God-given, and also the fans contributed to where you are, so you can never forget them, right?
Absolutely.
So everything we do it for the sake of our fans.
Absolutely.
That's what I've been able to gather, you know. Yeah, and personally, I've also learned a lot. Like, I feel like the journey has built my character, right? You know, I feel like the music journey has, you know, shaped me more into a man, right? Faster than... You know, I would have if I wasn't a musician. Maybe I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know, but yeah, because like being on the road without seeing my parents, often without family,
you,
you know, just
decisions.
Yeah, exactly. You're just in. You just wake up today and you're nowhere, right? It's you know, it's depressing sometimes, but we're learning and it's just making us better people at the end of the day.
That's the thing. I you know, haven't been. In spaces where I've had to travel and go to all these cities and stuff, the one thing I tell a lot of fans nowadays is they have to give musicians a little bit of grace.
Yeah.
Because the jet lag,
yeah.
the flight to flight, the lack of food, lack of sleep,
yeah.
all these things, and you still have to present yourself a certain way.
Yeah.
You still have to perform at your best.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard.
It's crazy. Trust me. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Now, what I wanted to speak to you about, especially when I realized that this brother used to drop bars as a rapper.
Yeah.
And then you flipped the script and you're singing with that pitch.
Yeah.
Did you ever, before that camp, had you ever tried to sing and felt like you could hold a note?
Yeah. So I used to say, like, my engineers in school back then, they would tell me, like, look, you're always going to be a singer at the end of the day.
No way!
Well, I would, you know, argue with them. I would tell them, like, nah, I'm going to be a rapper. But but the thing is, like, so I used to try to sing. I would do my hooks back then and then do rap verses, right? My most popular song in school back then is called Sing My Song. Mm. And I did, like, I sang on the hook, right? I feel like that's when people... That's when I started getting attention. So I realized, like, oh, this singing thing is actually working and my engineers might not be wrong after all. So, yeah, so that's when I released SMS shortly before I got into the camp.
Mm.
So when I got into the camp at the time, that's when I started doing more singing, you know, and it just turned out that I like
the boy's
it.
Got it. The boy's got the pipes, boy.
Yeah.
Do you now maybe take vocal lessons? Do you... invest more into your singing?
To be honest, I haven't been doing much.
Yeah.
But it's something I want to, you
Absolutely,
know. Yeah,
man.
I really love to. But I just do more singing on my own and I keep on improving daily. Right. So yeah.
I see you flexing nowadays. Like most times when you're on stage, you're like, yeah, they need to turn off the music. Let me sing to these people. Let them know that I can sing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, that's usually their fear.
Yeah.
Even though they sound great on wax,
yeah.
a lot of people still struggle on stage.
Yeah.
Breath control,
yeah.
all those things.
Yeah.
But you, it seems like it's a natural thing for you.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the lyrics, the
writing.
Bars thing?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm always asking rappers that, especially those that can sing, it must be an added advantage.
Yeah.
The fact that you... are already conditioned to drop bars and lines. So writing songs
will
almost be easy.
It's very easy because when you take your orientation from rap, you know, into like music, like the cadence is really different as a rapper. Like your rhyme skin is really different when you're a rapper, right? And if you infuse that with your singing, like you're just, it's a plus.
It's just easy.
Yeah, it's
easy.
Just easy. Yeah. Yeah.
Today, I was reading, I just saw on a blog and they were like, oh, the biggest alter records of the last 12 months. Do you consider yourself an alternative artist? What how would you describe Vic Tony and his sound to somebody that's just listening for the first time and would like to know where you can, what pockets you sit in?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like I'm an alternative artist though, because the thing is, I haven't put out like much music in the last 3 years of my career. I only put out like one EP.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, ever since I popped, right?
Yeah.
Since Holy Father, I put out like the project that has Soweto, Julian, and all that.
Yeah.
And I put out three singles last year, right? So I feel like an album will make people, will give people like a clearer view of who Vic Tony
is. Like that.
Right? But I'm really like a very versatile artist and I dabble into different sounds every now and then. But I put out more of Afro beats now.
Yeah.
But I feel like my album is gonna give me a chance to like, you know, really like express. So for those listening for the first time, Vic Tony's an Afro beats artist that, you know, sonically I'm very different, right? Yeah, I just feel like my voice is like my instrument.
Absolutely,
that's like
So, you talk about the album. You say it confidently, it looks like this album is either cooked or cooking. Which one is it?
I'm cooking it currently. I wouldn't say cooked because like there's no album is cooked until release.
Absolutely, because you're still removing and adding a song.
Trust
to
me, like people make decisions like the night before the album comes out, right? Wow. They make changes. So yeah, but I mean I'm cooking it and it's looking good. I'm excited, like my first album ever, like, you know.
And what time of the year are we looking at this? What's the team saying? Are we maybe looking at the first quarter? Are we looking at the second quarter?
It honestly depends. I'm about to put out like a song first quarter and it depends on what that song does, right? So
is that song different? Is it different?
Very. I feel like it's gonna change Afrobeat. It's gonna put us on the
No way.
Yeah.
Do we have a date for the release of the song?
Not yet.
But he's ready.
Yeah, he's ready.
Is he featuring anybody?
No.
Let's talk about Vic Tony and your features.
Yeah.
Once Holy Father did what it did,
and
everybody heard what Vic Tony can do on records, it looks like you're a hook master.
Yeah.
The phone started ringing. First of all, tell me about some of these phone calls.
Yeah.
Some of the people that just invited you to come into the studio just to come vibe, that you as a fan, not as Vic Tony the artist, you're like, rah, I'm in the studio with this guy.
Okay, so in 2021, after Holy Father, when Brana told me to come to the studio, that was like, that was the time, you know. That kind of like changed everything, you know. Just being in the studio with Burna. I think I was in the studio with Weez one time. Being in the studio with One Day as well. Cause you know, One Day I pretty much say he influenced like a new generation of us, like everybody. I feel like the new school Afrobeats
have to
be
people like yourselves who really play with the vocals.
Exactly.
Oxlade, Fireboy.
Exactly.
You know.
You know, shout out Andy Cole. Shout out Flash as well. Because
that one's a very emotional one for me. Because where's Flash,
man? I don't know, but I know he changed the game. It could trace everything back to Flash because
that Balenciaga.
Before Get Up, like there was nothing sounding like that. Right, like Get Up
was crazy.
Yes, Get Up changed the soundscape in Afrobeat. I would say personally.
Facts. I agree. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact to you. As much as I love DJ Toons.
Yeah.
And I'm one of his biggest fans.
Yeah.
Initially, when that record was moving around Europe, I didn't even know that Nigerians had anything to do with that record.
Yo.
I swear to you.
Yo.
Like, I just hear that. Get it.
Yeah, he changed everything. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Flash changed everything. I just wish he put out more music, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. That's really, really crazy. Now, you've got amazing collaborations. One with Pata Rankin.
Yes.
Talk to me about the Pata Rankin record.
Yo, so that one is crazy, right? Because I started Babylon with the producer, Phantom. Shout out Phantom. He's an amazing
Phantom.
Producer. Yeah, he did Ye.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did Skeleton. Yeah. Skeleton. He's crazy.
He's crazy. So I made the record with Phantom. And then I forgot about it, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think I just laid the hook. And then my manager tells me, like, Patu heard a song. Right, and he really loves it. I'm like, yeah, Babylon. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I to know.
Yeah, you know, let's do it. And we did it, but the reaction blew my mind. Because if I tell you, that's like my second biggest release last year.
Wow.
Like, yeah, Babylon, like, it's crazy.
It's a big record.
In East Africa, it's doing madness.
No, it's a big record.
It's doing crazy in East Africa. Big, like, big record. So, like, that's a huge one. That's a huge
one. You mentioned being in the studio with Burna Boy briefly. But
yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. That record is
great. I was in Berlin last month when Burna gets into Bum Bum.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
That record
yeah.
is, first of all, you're a young man. What were you? Was it Burna Boy's idea to talk about Bum Bum? Size, or was it your idea? We need to clear that one first. So, whose idea was the Bum Bum size?
Damn, it changed, man. It's 2024, but I'll give you the story. So it was a freestyle, basically. Mm. Right, I'd freestyle the whole thing into the hook, and you know, Burna was just going crazy about the song. Like, he really loved it.
Mm.
You know, he told me he had seen it on my page.
Wow.
Right, because that's why I'm like, that changed everything. You know, because sometimes people always doubt if they should put out something online or not.
Social media.
I feel like I should use this medium to tell you, like, if you're second guessing anything, just put it out, because you don't know what could happen. Because I put it out on my page. It was on my page. And first time I met Burna, he's like, he saw something on my page that was really crazy. I never planned on finishing the song or putting it out. I just put it out as a freestyle, because I felt like at the time, you know, and Burna tells me, like, yo, we have to work on that one. Because it was pretty empty. And that's when Burna went and just he laid his verse. And yeah, it's crazy.
And then obviously you had the new one with Black Bones.
Yeah.
Where you had to mention Shopsy Doo. You know what I mean? You gave me my shout out in that. You already know. Come on, Victoria.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Black Bones is a different kind of artist, too.
Yes, he is.
You know,
one
of the hardest workers out of the music game.
Trust.
On the African landscape.
Trust.
Talk to me about that connection
and
making music.
First of all, Black Bones and I were like really cool friends, you know. So he just hits me up and is like, oh, he's working on his album and he has this idea for his song. He had the idea for his song. He sang the hook for me in his car.
Wow.
And he's like, he really wants me on this song because he heard Babylon. Like, you see how everything just connects. It's like, I heard you on Babylon. What you doing on Babylon is crazy. And I feel like you'd be really perfect for this song, you know. And of course, it's Black Bones. So I
That's
have to like
guy.
Give it my all. Yeah. So, and we made it in the studio, right?
Together.
Yeah. We went in the studio together. I just kept asking him if he wanted to tweak anything. And he's like, no, it's like, he really loves what I'm doing already. And that's kind of like one of the songs I really loved working on last year. Because again, the reaction was kind of like surprising. And Black Bones kept on telling me, like, look, I know this song is not like fast paced, like them bangers on my album. But trust me, this song is going to do its own thing. And they love it, so yeah.
Talk to me about this young collective now. You know, I talked about the young across Africa.
Yeah.
What is the expectation? What is the goal for you, you know, as a young artist? And of course, the young generation. What are you guys thinking about in terms of this music business and how you want to attack this whole thing?
Man, the thing is, Afrobeat is still fresh, and I feel like the world hasn't even seen anything, right? We're still coming. Personally, I still want to take Afrobeat to a level where, like, you know, it's like is standing with R&B, with hip hop, with pop music.
Facts.
Right. I feel it's happening gradually.
Already.
Like, yeah.
Already.
Like,
you guys
see,
have
Calm
done
Down.
Amazing. Yep.
Last, Closer.
Mm.
Peru, Love Wanting Tea, like, come on, bro, like, it's happening.
I like
already.
The fact that you touched, you know, the big,
so, like, it's happening already, but I feel like it's even going to be more, because, like, we have stories, right? Like, these people don't even know what happens in Africa on a daily, and the music is, like, the fastest way we're using that as a medium to, like, tell our stories, right? You see our music videos, right? There's a lot coming, and the music is coming with the fashion. Right, so I can't even, like, it's
styling.
Bro,
there's a question I haven't asked.
Yeah.
Who is the inspiration for, or what is the inspiration for Victoni?
For Victoni?
Yeah, who inspired you? Who inspires you? Not only sound-wise, but obviously the style.
Drip,
The drip is crazy, too. You know, the outlaw king.
Yeah.
You know. So there has to be some... something you look at, people you listen to.
I just feel like Nigeria inspires me. Let me say that. Lagos inspires me. Because, like, everything, like, down to the hat I put on, like, it's the bike guys in Lagos that wear the papa's hat
that's
I put on.
Cold.
Like, it's called, like, bicycle seat cap. Right? So, like, it's, like, it's the little things. Like, this is really spicy when you look at... I know it looks bad to us back home, but when you travel around the world and you come back and you're like,
that's what I'm telling people about the
this
culture.
The culture is crazy. You look at, I put out a song last year called like Angelus, right? So it's just, and the sound was from, you know, the Igbo Catholic thing. Like, I use like this Hawaiian guitar. So Nigeria inspires me daily. And, you know, when you just drive in the streets of Lagos, like,
you see something.
You have to be inspired. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, so it's endless. Inspiration is endless. And I feel like that's why I continue to keep being Victoni, you know.
What part of Lagos did you grow up in?
I grew up in Ojo. Yeah. That's where Bella Shmoda is from.
That's where Crayon's from.
That's where Kay is from.
Yeah. Wow. So a lot of young guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm proud of what you've done so far.
Yeah.
I'm a massive fan of the music, the style. For any of the young artists that's touring the world, making money like yourself, hit singles, there's got to be a lot of female attention. talk to me about that, my brother. make us set the microphone well, so I can catch you well. Yeah. So how's that going?
We thank God.
Listen, we've got to run, but thank you very much for coming.
Of course,
ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, is the rising star, the outlaw king, Victoni. We thank God. Nah, that's amazing.
The Afrobeat Podcast. Right.